You have your Bibles taken, open them up to the book of Psalms, the 71st chapter of Psalms. By the way, while you're turning to Psalm 71, Brother Pete and I have come up with a good plan on our church sign that will be coming up. We're just waiting for a little bit cooler temperatures to get out there and do it. So we will let you know when that's coming up, but we want it to cool down just a little bit. Got him back up where I can help. I don't want to wear him out. Psalms chapter 71. The title of the message is Our Rock and Fortress. We live in a time, as you know, that is extremely chaotic. But for you and I as Christians, folks, I'm telling you, we are to be praising God every day because you can see the prophecy being fulfilled. It is an exciting time that we live in. I was amazed. One of the newscasters was taking on what took place this last week, and he said it is biblical prophecy coming to fruition. The rapture is going to take place. And I thought, whoa, on national TV, you talked about the rapture. So it is an outstanding thing that there are those believers who take what God's given them as a platform to talk about that. And for you and I, should be no worries. But at the same time, you and I have to stay steadfast, as Brother B.C. read out of Timothy. And that is our strength, where we draw upon what God has given us, is that we read His Word. It foretells us of those things. His Word also is a comfort. It is a guide. It is a direction. It is our every need, and the Holy Spirit guides us through there to understand that each and every day. And it's a difficult time to live in it with all the things going on. And I tell that from my own life of every day. Sometimes it just seems like it's overwhelming. And what I have to remember is I'm letting those, as when we had the disciple walking on water, I'm letting all those waves come up and letting my focus begin to look on the waves and the storm instead of the Savior. And when the Holy Spirit reminds me of that and kicks me in the britches and says, hey, where's your eyes focused? And I focus back where they are. You know, everything just kind of fades away and becomes calm. And by the end of the day, all those things that I thought I'll never get all this done with timelines to me, they're done. They just takes care of itself. And He will do exactly the same for you. Psalm 71, our rock and our fortress, invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. We'll read the first three verses if you're able to stand. The psalmist writes here, he says, "You, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge, to which I may resort continually. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." You may be seated. Look here a moment at what is written. He says, "In you, O Lord, I place my trust." I put my trust there. He sang the song about what a friend we have in Jesus. And one of the verses talks about, do your friends suddenly walk away and despise you and forsake you? They run off. They leave you. You know, as long as you're up on high, you got quite a few friends. But boy, when you hit them hard times, it's hard to find any. You know, they're afraid it's going to rub off on them. And we as Christians are going to go through good times as well as hard times. And that is especially why the Lord had put in His Word in Hebrews that says, Let me get my tongue right there. Forsake not yourselves gathering together, because it is from that, just as this morning, we hear the praises, we hear the prayers. It binds us together. It's there to lift us up. I hope when you leave here today or Tuesday evening or whenever the service is, that you leave with an excitement and with a joy and you say, wow, I am glad I went to church today. I'm glad I was there. I've been blessed by the Holy Spirit. I hope that is your comment. I pray for that. For everything that we do, from music to the scripture reading to the message, everything that we do, the fellowship we have, should be and must be to worship and honor our Lord. And here the psalmist says, I put my trust in you. Let me never be put to shame. You know, I testify that. 66 years old, I can never tell you one single time that God has ever failed to take care of me. Now, it may be when I wasn't thinking about it and I wasn't placing my eyes on Him, but, you know, I look back and I can recognize He still had His hand right there. And He still does. And I'm not special, folks. He does the same thing for each and every one of us. But He'd so much rather do it when we allow Him to and say, Lord, I want You to take control of this situation. And we look to Him ahead of time. And what I've found over those years, when I do look to Him, usually the situation don't get near as bad as what I thought it was going to be or when I don't look to Him. That train wreck doesn't happen. God's always there to smooth it out. And He will not let you and I be put to shame that He does nothing. He says, deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. What's He escaping? The devil's snares. You know, it is those trials and tribulations that build our faith. Because I can look at a new situation and say, well, you know, I had one before and God, You were right there. And that's talking to me, but I'm also talking to Him. Lord, I just as a psalmist, I give You praise. My trust is there. I have no doubt You know what tomorrow's going to hold, and You'll have it handled if I just let You. That's how You become my rock and my fortress. He also says that you incline Your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge. Reminded of that old hymn, where can I go but to the Lord? You see, when all the things of this world fizzle out and aren't the answer, we know where the answer is. I told you about Juan. He's in great spirits. He's a believer. He said, God is the one who's in control of my life no matter what happens. What a testimony. God shows, as Paul wrote, He shows His power and His strength in our weakness. I don't care if somebody says, oh, you're one of those weak Christians. Well, I have to question how to take that. I ask sometimes, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, you can't do it on your own. You got to lean on Him. Yes, sir, I sure am. I'm the weakest one of all. Thank you for recognizing it. Boy, that shuts them down. They meant it as a negative. I take it as a praise. He then says, Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. And if you're a highlighter, I want you to highlight that continually right there. It isn't dependent upon, are we doing everything right? Because we're not going to do everything right. You see, the Lord don't care what we've been doing. He's worried about where we are and where our heart is right now. We can confess those things. He'll forgive them, and He'll also forget them. But He wants our heart to be right. Majority of the Psalms were written by David. David was not a perfect man. David failed tremendously. And not a single one of them Ten Commandments David didn't break. But he always returned and said, You are my God. And God called him a man after His own heart because he continually knew where the refuge was. He knew where the forgiveness was. He knew where the right place was. Folks, he extends that to us every day. He extended it most of all when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. For the God who created everything, there was no reason for him to send Jesus. He'd wipe it out and start it over. But he continually wants to be our refuge and our Savior and our comfort. He says, continuing in 3, he says, "You have given me the commandments to save me." There are many of you who will testify without a doubt, God has sent his angels to protect you at times that you didn't even know they existed. And yeah, I believe in angels because I believe there are demons too. If you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. And he does send those protective angels to us. Sometimes they're in flesh form, and sometimes we never see them. We just know that they happen. Miracles are around us every day. We just fail to see them. And finally, he closes that with, "You are my rock and my fortress." And that is it. The rock, meaning that he is the foundation that will not shake away. A lot of the old buildings that were put up before they started doing a lot of the seismic and even the new ones, when those buildings do fail and become crumbling down, as man's philosophy always will, that solid foundation is still there. It's what didn't give way. And the solid foundation you and I have our faith built on is Jesus Christ. It will never, ever give way. Scripture tells us that. If you will, turn with me over in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, very last chapter. You can go to the book of James and back up one page. There it is. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 5. The author of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these. He says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" That is a promise of God. "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" What a powerful verse for the time that we live in. In a whole different arena, and I won't go into the explanation, but in that arena, evil is trying to abound. What I will tell you, and there are several who are trying to stand in the gap, and it can be anything. Some of you know of situations in your own life or your communities that are happening. And one of the things that we heard from several people who said, "I totally agree with what you're trying to do, but I'm fearful if I step forward and say something or put my name to it, there will be retribution." There's a lot of Christians that fall into that. Everyday language. "I'm afraid if I say something, everybody will point at me and won't think good of me anymore, and I'm trying to make everybody happy." I got news for you, you ain't ever going to make everybody happy. I will tell you that as a pastor to the congregation. I will never make all of you happy. If you think I will, I have some land for sale for you. We need to talk. There's only one that will always make us totally happy, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And there'll be times that we may not be happy. Had a lady tell me the other day, she said, "You know, I have argued with God." I said, "You have?" She said, "Yes." I said, "I have too. I got to check and see. Have you ever won?" She said, "No." I said, "Me neither." But I got it out of my system, and he patted me on the head and he said, "Appreciate it. Now go on down the road and do what I told you to do." And that's pretty much it. But he listens. He does. And we do it in the right spirit to say, "Lord, I just don't understand these things," or, you know, "Why me?" Whatever the situation may be. But you and I should not fear anything man can do. You say, "Well, preacher, what if that's at risk, like these people who are being killed for their faith?" Then I go home to sin. And I'll admit, Juan's on my mind in my prayers. And that's what I tell you, what a statement. He said, "Whatever happens." And he said, "I know you guys will be around, and God will, most of all, will be here to take care of my wife and kids." That's faith. And that's in everything that you and I have in this life. This is temporary. He is forever. And he tells us by his own words, we should not worry. In verse 5, he tells us the words of Jesus himself is what is italicized probably in your Bible as it is in mine. I will never leave you, never forsake you. That is his promise. Turn back, if you will, to the book of Matthew. Matthew 28. Here we find what we normally call, customarily call, the Great Commission. And oftentimes I hear people to refer to this. And I want to look at it for a minute. Matthew 28, verse 18. Because a lot of times we get hung up on verse 19 in the first part of 20. I want you to look at 18, and I want you to look at the last part of verse 20. These are the words of Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," he's speaking to the disciples, these will be the last words he will say on earth. He will ascend to heaven, until which time he comes to gather us home. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That is key. Who is the boss? He is. He is the El Jefe, ordained by his father, the big El Jefe. He also tells us, day, whether we want to admit it or not, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. That is just what he said here. All authority has been given to me. Every ounce of it. It isn't the president. It isn't the government. It isn't your wife. It isn't your son. It isn't your dad. It isn't your husband. It is all in the hands of Jesus Christ. I remember that sometimes when my boss says, "You realize who I am?" "Yep. You're just another human being under God's grace like me. So back up." He says in 19, this is what we hear most of the time, but that 18 is important for you and I. He says, "Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." But then look at the end of it. Again, the words of our Lord. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you always. So when is the end of the age? My age will end when I see him in glory. He's with me all of my life. And once I'm there in glory with him, it is forever. You ever contemplated what that word forever means? They give us synonyms, you know, infinity. As far as you can see, as far as you can even imagine, and it's so much further than that. I remember taking an astronomy class, and they talked about, and they had the huge telescopes, went down to McDonald's, and they have ones even more powerful than that now that look into the infinity of heaven. So many more galaxies in it. We think we're stud duck. We ain't nothing. It goes on forever and ever. They can't even see the end. They just know it continues. Folks, that's our life with Jesus Christ in heaven. No end. To the end of the age. Our age, it separates. Our age separates from this life to that life. But to that life, there is no end. We, notice when you break that down, in some of these, and I tell you this because some people talk, it says, "Well, I am with you even to the end of age." That's right. He's with me till right here. He said, well, that's not forever. No, because when I go there, he's not with me, I'm with him. It changes the whole definition. I'm with him now. If you ever talk to some of the Mormons, you'll want that. The end of the age is the end of my lifetime here. And he says, I will be with you. As David records, he says, Lord, you knew me even before I came out of my mama. And so he knew us well before that, and he'll know us until we are with him. And even there, he will know us forever and ever. My rock, my salvation, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that. Because without him, another old song, without him, I can do nothing. But I will quote Paul. All things are possible with Jesus Christ. All things. No matter what the physical ailment, no matter what the financial ailment, no matter what the personalities, the relationship elements, all things are possible. So I'll close where we started. The very first part of Psalm 71 says, I put my trust in you, O Lord. And the end of that section we read says, for you are my rock and my salvation. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. No matter how low it gets, draw your attention back to those verses. And you'll walk away not depressed, but you'll walk away praising God for the joy and the peace he delivers to your soul. Let's pray. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never have that full peace. You'll never have the abundant life. You won't know what it is to have someone you can rely on, no matter what the circumstances. When everybody else leaves you, Jesus says, I will be right there. And he's just a whisper away. One of the greatest things of all about our God is that he can hear all prayers at the same time. He has them recorded in his mind. He knows every single one of them, even before we ask. That's how much he cares for you and I. If you don't know him today, won't you allow him to come into your heart? He stands at the door and he knocks for you to open it. That old great deceiver is going to lie to you and tell you a lot of reasons why you can't do that. Take it. He is a liar, always has been, always will be. But Jesus cannot lie because his Father cannot lie. He says, cast all your cares, your burdens on me. I will give you rest. I will give you my joy, my peace. You think about those words. He knew what he was facing on that cross just for you, just for me. And yet he had a peace about it. He had joy of it. He had that full trust as he said, Father, I commend my spirit to you. And you and I have that same privilege if we ask him to come in to be our Lord and Savior. Not just to the end of this age of life, but for all of eternity. So we're going to offer a very simple prayer. We're going to invite everyone here to say that to encourage just that one that may not know him today. Christian, if you and I as Christians know him, we read Matthew. Our job is to go and spread that gospel. You and I should see without a doubt the time of the Lord's return is very near. And folks, if you care about someone, you don't want them to be left behind. Because if you read the rest of that book, it is not going to, you think things are bad now, you hadn't seen nothing yet. It is going to get terribly bad. But those who know him will be able to avoid all of that because we'll be raptured out. And that time draws near every single day. The check marks of prophecy are there. Whether anybody wants to realize it or not, we are living in the last days. Those prophecies are fulfilled. Share that gospel. as we pray together, both for ourselves and for those that are, may be here that don't know Him. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask You today to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, and forgive me of my sins. Walk with me always. It's that simple. He says, if you ask, you receive. You open that door in your heart to Him and place all of your trust in Him. He'll come in and give you a new heart, a new outlook, a whole new walk. You lose nothing that's of any value, but you gain all of heaven and all of the riches that God has to bestow. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you ask Him into your heart today, I want you to simply slip your hand up, not to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you, because your life just started over. There's not a single one of mature Christians in here that didn't start right where you are. God will come clean you up, but you need the support of other Christians. And on that, Christians, that is what we are to do. Support, teach, mentor, and take the gospel to those that have no clue. It's hard to believe in the United States of America, but there are people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to preach it, you can live it. That's why God gives each one of us a different sphere of acquaintances and friends, and family, and different talents to be able to reach those right where they need to be reached. Father, I thank You this morning for the time that we have had here. I thank You that You are our anchor. You are our salvation. I thank You that all power You have given to Your Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior, as well as everyone else who accepts Him. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You that we can have a spirit of no fear. For He overcame the devil himself and death. There's nothing that the devil can do to us because we are Yours. Lord, let us stand on those promises. Let us place all of our trust and faith in You. Let us walk uprightly with boldness, allowing Your Holy Spirit to give us the words to speak and the way to act, the decisions to make. Let us be Your ambassadors that others see Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, thank You for the time here. Thank You for the atmosphere and Your Holy Spirit being present this morning. How we can feel Him here and You're touching our hearts. Thank You for the fellowship that we've had, both with each other and especially the fellowship with You. Lord, we praise You. Give You all glory. I ask for Your blessings on each one here and the households they represent. As for Your traveling mercies as we go our separate ways, let us realize that we walk into the great mission field when we walk out these doors. Let Jesus Christ shine through us. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.